हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवत्सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so then Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna 3, Bhakti alone is the conclusion of all the scriptures. So then page 92. Jiva Goswami then continues, Pare means the highest tattva, without making distinction between Brahman and Bhagavan, since everywhere the same one entity is spread. Right? So here you're not making a distinction, but it doesn't mean that Bhagavan is Brahman. No, it means Brahman is Bhagavan. Brahman is the expansion of Bhagavan, so there's a non-difference, but it comes from the person. So that becomes the point. Because if it's not coming from the person, then how do you get to the point of bhakti? Because, how do you have bhakti for something that doesn't exist when you don't exist? You know, or it's all one and you're one with that. So how will there be any bhakti? So the conclusion of the scriptures that bhakti is the highest then establishes the point that Bhagavan is the supreme. And we, as parts and parcels of Bhagavan, are eternal. And Bhagavan in his form is eternal. So therefore, the relationship is there as two entities. Therefore, there can be a show of actual bhakti. Right? Because it's not bhakti when you want to merge into the other person. That's not bhakti. You're using the method of bhakti. In that you are, showing some devotion, you're doing the worship, you're doing what is recommended in Upasana Khanda, you may be offering the prayers and all that. But ultimately, it's not bhakti, because if you and the person become the same, then how will there be bhakti? Unless, of course, you're looking at it, you're very devoted to yourself. But then since there's no individuality, you wouldn't be able to think like that. So it's not a very well-founded or lasting position of consciousness. So you have to understand and know it's Bhagavan who has come, who has expanded as Brahman. Continuing, the goal of study of Shuddha Brahman scriptures is being fixed in part of Brahman. Because by studying the scriptures, if you're not fixed in the Lord, then you've missed the point. Right? That you may think that, no, but we're doing it, I study this, like the astronomy, so I make a livelihood out of this, or I do all the this or that, or, whatever it is that you're doing. But the point is no, it has to be done to please the Lord. That's the whole point. It has to be done that you come to the point of understanding the Lord and being fixed in that. Fixed means it doesn't stop, because we're eternal. Therefore, if we're dealing on that transcendental platform or the Vijnanamaya platform, we have to understand that that platform means you understand you're eternal and Brahman is eternal, right? And so that part of Brahman, the supreme as Bhagavan, that is eternal. Therefore, there's a relationship because you're our Brahman. We're a part and parcel. Therefore, we have a relationship with Brahman. And so then that will carry on. That's the whole point of this, that it makes you some money on the side or gives you some intellectual satisfaction or emotional and social satisfaction. That's fine. These are secondary. But the primary point is that you know Parabrahman, because all these things come from Parabrahman. The sense of friendship with friends comes from Krishna. The sense of wealth, comes from Krishna, or security or affection. All this is coming from Krishna. It's all his potencies, all expanding from him. He's the origin of all this. In other words, all experiences are coming from him, right? Either in the natural, in their positive form, or in their lack of that, in the negative form. Because there is, you know, that avidya shakti. You see, avidya, you have avidya because he's complete everything. And so through the avidya shakti, then we may experience these positive qualities that are directly representing Krishna by negative qualities that are coming, are expanding from Krishna, but don't represent Krishna. Because they are basically, you know, if you're always absorbed in Krishna, then there also has to be the platform of not being absorbed, right? Because there always has to be these two. There's always going to be two, though it's one, right? Because one is there, then the other is there. Because the sun comes up, therefore there's light. The day is light, the sun goes down, therefore it gets dark. So it's two, but it's non-different because they go together. Continue. Though in all parts of the Vedas, the scriptures indicate Parabrahman, still steadiness in Parabrahman does not arise by millions of deliberations on the Vedas. But study of those portions which describe the pastimes of Parabrahman with the form of Bhagavan produces steadiness in the form of Bhagavan. Right? It is said. Right? So you can study them for millions of, you know, here, millions of deliberations, you know, and how often do you seriously deliberate? So that can take you over so many lifetimes, and you'll still not understand. You still won't be fixed in steadiness, because one will go here, one will go there. There's 14 books of Vedic knowledge, and each one of them has so many subsections. And this way you can keep yourself very, very distracted and very busy. And so then it's only when you study those portions which describe the pastimes of Parabrahman, the form of Bhagavan, that produces steadiness. Even you're studying those portions where it describes them as Brahman or as Paramatma, those won't create the steadiness because he's God. Okay, great, he's God. You know, and we're part and parcel of God, so we're not God. Okay, you know, that just establishes the tattva that what it is. But as Bhagavan, the form of Bhagavan, then in that aspect, then he performs these wonderful pastimes where you see the interaction with his devotees. That's what then generates that attraction. That creates steadiness, right? So Jiva Goswami then quotes, it is said, for a person who is suffering in the fire of countless miseries, and even for persons who desire to cross the insurmountable ocean of material existence, there is no suitable boat except cultivating the nectar of narrations of the Supreme Lord's pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:4:40. Right? So you see here we're 12th canto, then, you know, it's going to be giving the summary and everything. But that's you want to get out of the material world. The only way is to cultivate the nectar of studying the narrations of the Supreme Lord. So even you want to get out of the insurmountable ocean of material existence, if you don't do that, it won't be steady. Either you will not make it to the Brahman platform, or you'll come back. But if you cultivate the nectar of the narrations of the Supreme Lord's pastimes, then that platform of being freed from material existence is permanent. O Lord, if fools give up bhakti, the all-inclusive path, and suffer to attain realization of Atma without bhakti, they simply attain suffering and nothing else. They are like fools who beat empty husks. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:4. Because otherwise, you want something, but the thing is without bhakti, is that you have these secondary forms that are used in devotional service. But if they don't have devotional service, they're just like husk. That's all. Varnashram without devotional service is just a form to use that to interact with people. And interacting with people, if you don't see it based on that they're part and parcel of the Lord, then it also, all these things, they are just like empty husks because they don't have meaning. Bhakti is the essence of everything. It's the only thing that's there. We say, oh no, but I get a taste in this, but that comes from rasa. Rasa, Krishna is rasa, so it's coming from Krishna. So now if you don't have that devotion to Krishna, then the tasting of these things will be temporary and they will give trouble. They will give problem. It's just the way it is. You know, it doesn't, there isn't any other alternative. So that's why then in the devotional service is pushed that we're trying to become aware of Krishna. We're trying to become, so we're going through these stages. We're engaging our activities in Krishna. We're having that knowledge. There's that detachment. We're trying to absorb ourselves in remembering Krishna. You know, and then we understand the transcendental platform, spiritual platform of Brahman, you know, part of Brahman. But the real thing is then when we see Krishna, his relationships with the devotees, that is what's going to attract the mind that will create a steady platform. These other things may be useful in elevating ourselves, but the actual essence of it is the devotion. It's not the mechanics themselves have any point. It's just like if I have a blender and I put the blender, I set it up nicely, I plug it in, I get everything ready, and I just push the buttons and make it run, but there's nothing inside, what's the point? You can say, no, but the blender can do this and that, only if those things are inside. In other words, the blender is dependent upon the things put inside, because that's the reason of its existence. It's not just meant there to whirl around, you know, it's not a Darnavesh or something, you know. So that's what we have to understand is all these things, you know, is that the whole, all the religious processes, they're only shells. You can put bhakti into that, then it has meaning because you're going to be tasting the bhakti. And they're a nice form to express that. But they themselves are not bhakti. You know, it's just like if you want to make the argument about the glass and the drink, you know, there's non-difference, but it's the drink is the main thing. And if you think, no, no, they're the same, so then I'll give you an empty glass. And you, one should be satisfied, but one can't be satisfied. So the glass only has meaning if you put something in it, right? Then it has meaning. So that's the whole point that is there, is that one has to appreciate that the, I say, one has to appreciate that the bhakti is the only real substance of anything. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, even you, let's say you're taking a bath, but that sense of cleanliness, that's Krishna. That sense, let's say the water is warm, that's Krishna. Or the soap in that it has that purifying effect, that's Krishna. Or the aspect of, you know, it's good for the health, the actual point of the health itself, that potency is Krishna. You know, whatever it is that is there, or the soap has a nice fragrance, that fragrance that is nice, that's Krishna. So there's nothing. All of them, without that, then they just come for a moment and they're gone. They don't have any lasting effect. But you remember Krishna and all this, Krishna remains. The others will go. Like we see, you use Varnashram, but you move through. Someone's a brahmachari, then that goes on, then they're a grihastha, then that goes on, then the Vanapra, like this, it just goes. You know, we have so much facility, and then, you know, at some point, like I've seen people, they work their whole life, they get these nice facilities and all that. And then with time, they decide that, you know, some other facility would be nicer, because when you get older, you know, what do you do with so much facility? You know, so then they have that more simple kind of lifestyle. And so it's comfortable. Because they know what works, and everything that doesn't work, they get rid of. So they've moved on to another thing. So what before was so important, now is not so important. But Krishna remains all the way through the whole process. So that's the point. So studying the scriptures, unless one comes to the point of understanding that bhakti is supreme, if you come to any other conclusion, then you've not actually got any real benefit. You know, there's piety, yes, you've studied the scriptures, but the point is the soul has got no benefit. Okay? We're good on that? Yeah. Anucheda 68-69. One should not study Vedic scriptures devoid of the Lord's pastimes. This is expressed in the next two verses. Quote, O Uddhava, that man is certainly most miserable who takes care of a barren cow, an unchaste wife, a body totally dependent on others, useless children, or wealth not utilized for the right purpose. Similarly, one who studies Vedic knowledge, devoid of my glories, is also most miserable. Right? So his point here that he's trying to get across is that the essence is the pastimes of the Lord. That's going to be the point. So that if you're not passing studying those, then it is a waste of time. Right? One will be miserable. And then he gives ideas that, you know, people can relate to that are miserable. Right? You know, so the cow, you know, the family situations and all these different things. Then you can relate to that. So just as useless as those are, then if you study the Vedic knowledge, devoid of Krishna's glories, it's also most miserable. They just use the intelligence, you know, and that effort that's there, then they take that as that's nice, but in actuality, it's not. It's miserable. And we see as great personalities who have gone to the farther side of study and analyzing the Vedic literatures, you know, like Prakashananda Saraswati and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. No one can say that they have studied more than them. No one. Right? So no one can say, well, you know, they just studied this. I study a more broad, I'm more eclectic. No. That's just false ego speaking. They were the greatest scholars, and they have come to the conclusion that this is miserable until, you know, if it's devoid of that understanding of the glories of Krishna. And so then that's there. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:11-19. Then Jiva Goswami continues, Maya Hinam Vacham means statements devoid of my pastimes, right? So you're seeing whatever the pastimes. So therefore, even as the pastimes of creation or the pastimes of his, you know, different kind of avatars, you know, his swamsas and vibhinamsas, all these things, the descriptions of that, you know, are always, that's what's going to make it nice, because then it's all his pastimes. Well, you know, what's going on, what he does, what is his intent. You know, what's the mood? And then of that, then the more you get up and he's displaying his pastimes, you know, of, you know, the interaction with the devotees in prema, then that's going to give even more attraction. And then of that, then we see it in the pastimes in Raja. Yasyam na me pavanam anga karma stit yudhava prana nirodham asya lila vatare shita janma vasyat vandyam giram tam vibriyan nadhiraha. O Uddhava, the wise do not accept useless scriptures in which there are no descriptions of how I create, maintain, and destroy the universe, and which there are no descriptions of my auspicious birth as Krishna among all the Leela avatars. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:11-20. Okay, so you see then Bhagavatam is the most perfect scripture, because it's based on this the most, and his birth as Krishna among all the Leela avatars. And then his pastimes in that appearance are given in great detail. So that makes it the king of all the Vedic literatures. The wise man does not accept useless Vedic words, giram, in which there are no description of my pastimes, karma, which purify pavanam, the universe, pastimes of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Superior to that, however, are descriptions of the birth of Krishna and Rama among the avatars, the shelters of prema for the universe, ipshitam, Narada has said. Quote, the unfailing cause of perfection from men's austerity, study of the Vedas, performance of sacrifices, chanting of mantras, practicing jnana and giving charity is defined by the wise as glorifying the qualities of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:5-22. Unfailing cause means it always works. It's just, you know, you want more effect, you do it more. That's all. And if you want the effect like we see the residents of Vrindavan, then they're constantly doing that. They're absorbed in samadhi. So the point is, since it's unfailing, any amount of it is good. And by determination and understand that to practice that, then gradually, in nice association, then this becomes more and more. So that's the whole idea, is that we have to come to this point where we appreciate that the unfailing cause of perfection from all these other things are glorifying the Lord. So all the religious processes, their effect actually comes because of glorifying the Lord. Otherwise, the effect will be temporary, you know. And so we want a permanent effect, which means to transfer ourselves to the eternal pastimes of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya, the purifying avatar for Kali Yuga, says, Shrutam ap yao panishadam dure hari katam ritam yanna shanti dravach chitta samma kampashru pulakadayam. Upanishads which though heard do not produce a melted heart, trembling of the body, tears and hairs standing on end, are far inferior to the nectar of the Lord's pastimes. Right, so in other words, that study of the Upanishads, one has to see it in the context of how it's connecting with Krishna, you know, and the Lord's pastimes, how it sits there. So one is the Upanishads themselves, then just study on their own because, you know, they're supposed to be the highest knowledge or the most intellectual or things like that. That won't give any real benefit. You have to see it in context of how it is connected with Krishna's pastimes, how he has expanded all his potencies, his avatars, and done all these different aspects. So therefore, then the Upanishads, the essence of that is given in Vedanta Sutra. The essence of the purpose of Vedanta Sutra or the purport is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, the most perfect study of the Upanishads is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Or if you're going to analyze the pastimes of the Lord, then it may be done in that Upanishadic form, but it's in connection with the Lord, like we see here. This is done in this in the form of Nyaya Prashtan, the Sandarbha, because it's going through and logically putting things, but it's done completely in connection with the idea of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and pure unalloyed devotion unto him as the purpose and conclusion and the actual topic, subject matter, you know. And then it has you know, real purpose, right? So if you're studying just that it's analytical, you may not get that. When you study it in the context of how it's explaining the Lord, his position, the devotees, what the acharyas are explaining, all this kind of thing, then it has the meaning, then it will give you an actual, real benefit. Right? Anucheda 70. Having stated that jnana is perfected by bhakti, jnana is summarized, right? So now we've gone through karma, then we've gone through to study of the scriptures, because through that you're going to get jnana. Now they talk about the jnana itself. Quote, rejecting the misconception of variety concerning Atma by deliberation, fixing the mind devoid of Maya upon me, the Lord who pervades everywhere, a person will become peaceful. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.21. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Coming to the conclusion of all knowledge, one should give up the false conception of material variety that one imposes upon the soul and thus cease one's material existence. The mind should be fixed on me since I am all-pervading. Right? So whatever you are meditating on the material platform and all the variety that is there, it's all Krishna, it's all his potency, it's all manifestations of his different opulences, you know, to different degrees, some more and less, like in the Bhagavad Gita, then there's three chapters. So those three chapters are describing Krishna's opulences from different angles, you know, so some will be, you know, the Shakti, some will be smaller portions of that that just show a little something, showing from the greatest things, like the sun and moon and the oceans and mountains, down to the smallest little thing, like the strength in man and, things like that, or so anything that is valued. So in other words, what catches the attention of the soul is actually Krishna's potency. It's Krishna. He's all pervading. So it's that Brahman platform, that because the soul is Brahman, the only thing we'll notice is Brahman. And even, and so it's not seeing anything else. That's the attraction is that. So even the most uneducated person, or even the animals, all they're doing is they're attracted to Krishna. That's all. It gives them a taste. They say they're hungry. They see something to eat. But why that comes to eat? Because that's Krishna potency. That is their food. They have a technique by which they can gather that food. Like the cow just, walks over to where it thinks it's green and starts, eating. It's got a mouth. It's got the tongue. It's got the teeth, it's got the neck muscles. It's got, it's perfectly built to eat grass all day. Right. And so then it works out very nicely, but that attraction and that ability, and then the taste that the grass gives, the satisfaction that the cow has having, eaten so much grass, that's all Krishna. It's all Brahman. And so there's nothing other than Krishna. There's nothing other than Brahman. So the false conception of material variety, the material nature is creating it, it's just a variety of Krishna's potency. It's all Krishna. So it's all Brahman. It has variety, but you're seeing the spiritual level, right? And so then that's what's being accepted. All right? Does that make sense? So then that then is analyzed, and that is seen as that you're converting from one to the other. You're converting from the material variety to, no, it's Krishna's potency. And the value it has, the material has to me, that no, it's Krishna who's of value, because he is the potency that I value. That's the second verse of the first verse is he is everything in the chapter of Ashloki. And the second is what you value in that everything. What you perceive of in that unlimited is Krishna. And if you don't see it that way, you'll be in Maya. Right? But at the same time, is that it always brings it, as we see, even though this jnana connects you to Krishna, then the third verse then is pointing out that, but I is a person and beyond that. Because this is just the effulgence of him coming out and manifesting all these different things. And then he comes as Paramatma, as the expansion to control. But he, the person, he has the way he's working and the way he's doing, then has so many other aspects. So that is there. So that is what should be searched after on all these levels. So on the Brahman level, the Paramatma, and the Bhagavan, all these aspects, that's what should be seen, is that he as the person is what you're trying to obtain through any of these, any mediums, whatever there is. Continue with the Udriti. The Lord summarizes the path of jnana, discarding false conceptions of variety concerning the self. Right? The self isn't all these things. Oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm man, I'm woman, I'm older, I'm younger. I'm from this place to that place. I'm tall, I'm short, I'm all these things. No, the soul is none of that. So discarding false conceptions of variety concerning the self, the gross and subtle bodies of devata and human, by deliberation, jigyasya, as described above, fixing a mind devoid of contamination, maya, virajam. On me, by bhakti, one attains sayuja with me, upa, rameta, by vijnana arising from the bhakti. It is said, bhaktya, tvananyaya, shakya, aham evam vidhorjuna. Gyatum drashtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. Only by ananya bhakti is it possible to know me, see me, or even merge with me. O Arjuna. Bhagavad Gita 11:54, Sarada Darshani 11:11:21. Only by ananya bhakti is it possible. So Krishna is saying this, and you're merging into him, and so since he's allowing, it's not, we don't have the potency for that because we're covered by Maya. We're so weak. So it's only by that devotion to Krishna that whatever level you want to get, to know Krishna, to see Krishna, you know, so in other words, to know Krishna, the Paramatma stage, to see Krishna, the Bhagavan stage, the merger of Krishna, the Brahman stage, that feature. So it's only through bhakti, and that's the proper bhakti. You can't cheat it. You have to actually have the attitude. So you can't even just do the rituals without the attitude. And then it has the meaning. So that's Sardar Darshani 11.11.21. Right. The deliberation in this verse was described in the first verse. Badho mukta iti vakya gunato me na vastuna vastutaha gunasya maya mulatvan name moksho na bhadhanam bandhanam. One cannot actually say that there is bondage or liberation due to the gunas controlled by me, because the relationship with the gunas arises only by avidya or ignorance. There is no real bondage and consequently no liberation. That is my opinion. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.1. Yes, please.
Guru Maharaj, I have a question on a previous text about, okay. You say that it's not possible to get all of these results without right attitude, just by performing the rituals. And my question is, if someone wants to merge in Krishna, impersonalist, how he can have, what will be right attitude for him if he will do bhakti?
This is what these verses are saying. The path of Gyan means you have to give up the false conception of variety concerning the self, the gross and subtle bodies of Devta, human by deliberation, jigyasya, as described above. Fixing the mind devoid of contamination, maya virajam ammi, by bhakti, one attains sayuja with me, upara meta, by vijnana arising from that bhakti, means that bhakti will give that vijnana realization. Then you know that the soul as Brahman and the Supreme Brahman are non-different in that they're both Brahman, right? But the point is you can only stay on that transcendental position permanently if you understand he's the Supreme Brahman, the source of all other aspects, features of Brahman, and then continue that bhakti. Then you can take up an eternal relationship with the Lord and then continue like that. But if you think that, no, we're all one, so I am exactly the same, I am, you know, the Supreme, then that's going to be temporary. And, you know, after a few moments on the transcendental platform, then one will fall again. So the experience that you'll have, just like here, somebody absorbs themselves for a few moments, right? You know, you're in meditation, you think, and, you know, you may get a few seconds or even, you know, a few minutes like that, and you think, wow, that was so wonderful and all that. I want to have that all the time. But that's the maximum you can get. It's just your time frame. In our time frame, you're going to get the things. I think Buddhists, they can sit for 7 hours and get something. But, you know, I'm sure during that 7 hours, there's a lot of not being absorbed on that platform, but that's still not permanent. Then if you then at the, you know, leave the body and come to that platform of merging in Brahman, the point is you as the individual are experiencing that I'm absorbed in Brahman. I am Brahman, aham Brahmasmi. But now you're working on that time frame that we see with Mahavishnu, because that's where Mahakalapura is. Mahakalapura is where Mahavishnu stays, right? And so in that place, you're going to be there and you're going to be absorbed like that. But as a person, how long can you stay absorbed? At some point, then you attain that peace of this or that, nice. And then now that everything's nice, because you want the liberation because the material world's a problem. You want to be happy. Once you're happy, then now you want to do something nice. So now then you'll think of activity. And since all we know is material activity, we will come back to the material world. So again, you'll only be, you know, five, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, a few hours, and then back again in the material world. But, you know, by eternal, by the time frame in Mahakalapura, three quarters of a second is a life of Brahma. So you may be there for many, many lifetimes of Brahma, or hundreds or thousands of lifetimes of Brahma, but for you, it's just going to be, you know, a few minutes or a few hours, and then back to the material world. So working so hard, you don't actually gain anything. So the point is the devotee sees all this, that yes, I'm not this body. I'm not the gross and subtle bodies. I'm not the devata, you know, naham vipro, na cha, na rapatir, na pi, vaisho, na shudra. I'm not any of these things. I'm simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis. And so that aspect, that feature focused on Bhagavan, that aspect of devotion, that's cultivated. That can be eternal. That can give you actual eternal benefit. Yes? No?
Yet, Guru Maharaj, I just was amazing how if someone have right devotional attitude, how he can desire to go to merge in Brahman.
He wants to merge in Brahman, and he's by studying the scriptures and by association, he's understood that whatever you want, because Brahman is the supreme, you can only attain the supreme, whatever feature you want, through devotion to the supreme. And so they use it as a method. But once they come to that platform, then they're not performing that bhakti anymore. It's just like someone works hard at a job, but once it's done, he sits back. You know, because it's about his enjoyment. Let's say the house is untidy. So then one follows the path of tidying the house. But once it's tidy, then you sit back. You got to sit down on the couch, look over it. Now it's nice. Now it's good. Now I can be happy. And then you feel I have that. There's that sense of enjoyment. So the goal was one's own individual enjoyment. It wasn't the devotion to the Lord. Therefore, it'll be temporary. So that's why then there's something higher. But now if you maintain that pure bhakti, that merging in the supreme, it's a state of consciousness. You understand everything's Brahman. We're not talking about Mayavadis here. We're not talking about Buddhists. Don't worry. The Mayavadis and the Buddhists actually never get liberated. You can be confident of that. It never happens. Because where's their serious aspect of bhakti? Where are they following, you know, what the Upanishads have said? What are the methods that proper path? They don't get liberated. They may reduce their involvement in the material world, and so therefore it gets better. But they never give it up because they think it doesn't exist anyway. So therefore their existence on the platform of Brahman doesn't exist. They don't exist. So according to their philosophy, their goal is impossible. One has to be confident of that. You know, but the impersonalists, they may come to that platform, and then you see if they continue that process on the liberated platform. Once they come to there, they don't give it up. Then, like the Kumaras or Shukadev Goswami, then they something triggers that pure bhakti. So for the Kumaras, it was smelling the transcendental flavor, you know, of the Tulsi at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And so that then they understood that there's a position beyond just being merged in Brahman. Right? Merged Brahman, it's a center of consciousness. Right? So then they're here, they're merged in Brahman. But then they see that, oh, there's something beyond that that gives even greater happiness. It's a dynamic happiness. It's not just peace. It actually is dynamic because peace is static. It's not dynamic. There's no dynamic peace, right? And so then with Sukadev Goswami, then he heard those verses from Srimad Bhagavatam about, you know, Krishna and his pastimes with the devotees and the nectar that's there, he became attracted. So then he took up that, he continued on that. It wasn't just using it along with, it wasn't then the jnana mishra bhakti. It was that he continued in then pure bhakti. Does this make sense? So we have to understand when we're talking these things, we're talking on the lowest level here, you know, we're talking about this jnana and this liberation. We're talking about impersonalists, Brahmavadis. Mayavadis, Buddhists, and all these others, they don't even, you know, Jains, this, that, they don't even count. They're not getting anywhere. They might get a little piety for their, you know, their austerity, their regulation and all that. And that, but they'll receive the results of that piety here in the material world. They're not going beyond the Mahatattva. Right? Does that make sense? They will stay in the Mahatattva. Yes. Yes. Okay. That's why he says, so the point is that he's saying is that this bondage and liberation due to the gunas, it's not actually there because the soul is never actually under the gunas. They themselves, by consciousness, allow themselves to be controlled by the gunas, but the soul is actually independent of the gunas. And so the gunas don't bind you, and they don't liberate you. The living entity, when they think of themselves separate from Krishna, that consciousness of their, that's what binds them. And when they give up that and see, I am eternal servant of Krishna and identify there and act in that, then that's what's the position of liberation. So they just come to understand their natural position. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say there's someone is there and they're covered by a blanket. So it's dark. They can't see anything. They can't interact with anything like that. And then you take off the blanket and now they're liberated. But the point is they've always been in that position. They just happen to be okay with being covered by a blanket. But who they are when the blanket's covering them and who they are when the blanket's taken off is the same person. It's just that they identify with the blanket. So they think, yes, I'm covered by this blanket. I'm covered by a wool blanket. Someone else by a cotton blanket. Someone else by a, you know, a down blanket and someone, you know, like this. And so they all, and my blanket's this color, my blanket's that, my one has, you know, paisleys on it and, you know, like this. And so that's what they identify. But the person who's identifying with it is still the same person on that transcendental platform. So you just remove the blanket and then they're back to what it is. So it's just, they've agreed to be to that position. You understand I'm not this blanket, then they move on. So that's the whole, why it's being alluding to this, you know, as we're going along, that these great personalities, they don't see there is no material world. It is Krishna's inferior energy. But it's not a separate existence. It's just, it's inferior. So it itself, you know, has this temporary manifestation and it doesn't give any satisfaction or benefit for the soul. Other than how, then it's engagement in Krishna's service. So therefore, they see it all as Krishna's energy. And, you know, of that energy, what relates to them, they engage in Krishna's service, right? Means in the spiritual world, it's the same. You have unlimited manifestations of things. But what is important to you in your rasa and service to the Lord, that's the field that you will absorb yourself in, not another field. Right? So that's what you'll do. It's like the cowherd boys, like they want to be out with Krishna frolicking in the fields, you know, running around, yelling, screaming, you know, free, they can do whatever they like, you know, and Krishna is the center of all that you know, boyish playfulness, you know. But then when they come back, you know, at home, then they don't yell and scream because, you know, they don't do that. And then they, you know, their interest is, you know, to go to sleep, and they'll remember Krishna, get up in the morning early so they can go see Krishna when he gets up to milk the cows and how he takes his bath and gets dressed. And then, you know, some come for his breakfast like that, but they have to behave themselves because it's Mother Jashoda's house. So therefore they're going to, you know, follow those rules. But as you know, then they go, it's time to go out with the cows. So then they're there with Krishna and everybody, and the cows are waiting, you know, for them to come. And Mother Yashoda and the other elders are there and, you know, feeling bad that Krishna is going to the forest. So their time with him now is gone. You know, I mean, it's over. So now they'll, you know, be absorbed in Krishna through the meditation. But the cowherd boys are just waiting. You know, when can we go? When will all this be that? And then when they go out, then they're, you know, happy, especially when they get a little distance. So they know it's too far to be seen, because when they go out, Mother Yashoda and the gopis, they go out for some distance, you know, followed for some distance. And once you get to the forest, then they'll stop in the field. Once they're inside, they know they're that, then they can start yelling and screaming and stealing each other's lunch and doing all the stuff that they, you know, like to do. So that's their world. It overlaps. It's part of Raja, and it has overlapping elements with all the other rasas. The cows also, they like with that, but they're not, you know, they're just appreciating Krishna and his interactions with the devotees and how nice it is. You know, whoever the devotees, but they're not going to, you know, get in there and carry Krishna around or be carried by Krishna if they, you know, play a game and win or lose. You know, so they do their cow stuff. And the cowherd boys do the cowherd boy stuff. You know, then the parents do their things. The gopis do their things. The servants do theirs. And so they all see their service in that environment. When Mother Yashoda sends servants out with lunch for Krishna, and that when they come out there, then it's a nice place. Krishna's with the cowherd boys. They're appreciating the rasa that's going on there, you know, with the cowherd boys. But it's, they do service. They're not going to, you know, start jumping up and down and yelling and screaming and doing all the things to the cowherd boy. No, they're going to do servant stuff. So they're going to see the same field and pick out that part of the field that they do their service. You know, or you see is that you have Krishna, even with the cowherd boys, is that they're going to see their different fields of service. They're there, Krishna's feeling tired, so then he goes to sit under a tree. So then, you know, those who are like equals, they'll sit down, Krishna will put his head on their lap, you know, like that. Those who have that older friendship, then they'll, you know, protect Krishna or see like that. Those who have the junior friendship, then they'll do service like massage Krishna's feet or fan him. So they'll see their opportunity and take it. They don't take someone else's. This is what they want to do. That's their sthai bhav. So the anubhav has certain manifestations and they do that. They don't do something else. And so they're seeing their field. And the same way as then the great sages, when they're here and the great personalities, the great devotees, they're here. It's Krishna's energy. So within this energy, what can be used in my position and what I can do for Krishna. So therefore, as a householder, I can utilize these things in Krishna's service. Someone else as a brahmachari utilizes something else in Krishna's service. And there's always an overlap. That's why there's a community. So there's always going to be overlap of all these things. And so you have to understand Krishna's the center. We're not the center. We see our position and function within our sphere and don't go outside of that, because going outside of that, then you're cheating. Mother Yashoda comes out and wants to play with Krishna in the cowherd, you know, in with the cowherd boys. How much can the kids play? You know, they have to play some very light, pleasant games like that. Or Krishna, Mother Yashoda goes out with the gopis, you know, like that. And, you know, is telling the different people how to do different arrangements and like that. You know, how much can they do? It has to be a very formal, you know, like a ballroom dance, you know. It's like it can't be very developed, you know, like that. Or you know, so that's the whole thing, is that certain rasas therefore have compatible ones, certain rasas have neutral, certain have inimical. And so therefore then, you know, you have to judge accordingly. You can't just say no. In all situations, it's all about me and I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. This is cheating. It's cheating because Krishna is the center. So it's about you and your position and your relationship with Krishna. So if you see that on the transcendental platform and everything as energy of Krishna, therefore then, for you, it's also the spiritual world. It just may be an inferior manifestation of the spirit of Brahman, right? But it's still Brahman. And therefore, then those on this platform of Jnana Misra Bhakti, then they can be very nice and situated. They're peaceful. They see the connection with the Lord. But now if they want to come forward into the Shanta Rasa and continue, then that would, you know, they have to move forward. They have to actually take up that element of a continuous bhakti. Is that okay?
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Okay, okay. But Jiva Goswami continues. Atmani means, quote unquote, in the pure jiva. Rejecting the illusion of variety constituted of devatas and humans in the Atma, concentrating arpya, the mind on me, the all-pervading, sarva gay, Brahman, by hearing my pastimes, one should become peaceful, right? Because one wants to become peaceful, the only way is to reject the material identity and endeavoring for making the variety that's here for my benefit, but, you know, only using it for Krishna's service, and then concentrating on him and absorbing oneself in his pastimes, then only you can become peaceful. So those on the platform of jnana who want liberation, they're looking for peace. That's the goal. But you can only get it by rejecting the material, attachments and illusion, and accepting the absorption in Krishna. So this is the actual position. Good and bad on the material platform is just more material variety. But accepting what's favorable for Krishna, rejecting what's unfavorable, that's the actual position. So we say don't see good and bad. We don't see the material concept. You only see is what's recommended by Krishna and the acharyas and scriptures to do in pure devotion and what's rejected. So that's the same point. Yama niyama. It's what is favorable. You know, always remember Krishna is what's favorable. Always never forget. That's what's unfavorable. Forgetting is unfavorable. How do you forget? By absorbing yourself in the mundane. How do you always remember? By being absorbed in his pastimes. Right? It's not that you give up the mundane, but that don't absorb yourself in Krishna's pastimes. It won't give the desired effect. You have to, you know, try to be absorbing your mind in there. That's why we say is that other aspect that has to be there. Not just giving up the one and not doing the other. That's the problem is the Mayavadis, the Buddhists, they just talk about giving up the one. They don't talk about the actual position of liberation. So they're just talking about liberation. Just in other words, Shankaracharya and the Lord is Buddha. They're talking about liberation like, let's say those in economics talk about getting lots of money and being happy. Right? One is you'll never get enough money, and two, you'll never actually be happy. There's always some problem. Even you have money, there's problem. You don't have money, there's problem. So in other words, seeing money separate from Krishna, that's the problem. So in other words, it's just a more pious material approach that's meant to bring us closer so that it's favorable for devotional service. So because of our external identity and attachment, therefore these religious aspects are more important to us than devotional service, but at least they bring you to the point where you're piously situated so that when you do come in contact with the devotees, you could take up the process more easily. But we see is that the holy name, because in Kali Yuga, the holy name being independent, therefore, even if one doesn't have that piety, the holy name can still uplift you, right? Papi tapi jato chilo hari namer udarilo jar shaki jagai madhai. Oh, tar shaki jagai madhai. Yeah, something like that. Does that make sense? So in other words, this peace that they're looking for can only come through devotional service. They may use the platform of jnana as their religious process, as the container, the bowl for holding that bhakti, while others may use the bowl of karma to hold their, you know, for the bhakti. But the point, or someone else who uses yoga for the bhakti, but the point is it's the bhakti that's important. Therefore, you can focus on the bhakti, and bhakti naturally, I'm not the body, I'm the servant of Krishna. And all activities are all meant to please Krishna for karma. And so bhakti already includes engaging them, but then it's not misra, it's pure. So misra means when I have attachment for the benefits of karma and jnana or the field of karma and jnana. It's more the neophyte is more the benefits, the madhyama it's more he's just comfortable in the field because that's his conditioning. So, you know, he's comfortable working there, though he wants no benefits from it. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Yes, no.
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. Okay. Riti. In the next Anucheta, the four ascending stages to attain the stage of liberation are described. Through this, it is demonstrated that liberation, which is the goal of jnana, is a byproduct of bhakti. Anucheta 17, right? Because remember that we were talking before about those four stages, right? I think it was karma, jnana, meditation, and liberation, right? Having taught jnana misra bhakti, he teaches pure bhakti with jnana as its byproduct in four verses while discarding jnana, right? So you've taught karma misra bhakti. Now he's going to teach pure bhakti that's being applied in the field of jnana, right? Because jnana misra means you have an attachment for the jnana because of the conditioning. Or karma misra is because there's a idea of that. So we saw before there was a karma misra and then the pure, right? And now he's showing the same thing with the jnana. But you, at the end, you discard jnana because whatever you're doing in jnana, it's already included in bhakti. It's not separate. Yes? Okay. How are we doing on time? Yad yani sho dharaitum mano brahmani nishchalam mai sarvani karmani nirapekshas samachara. If you are not able to free your mind from all material disturbances and cannot absorb it completely in Brahman, then perform all your activities as an offering to me without enjoying the fruits. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.22. Right? So in other words, if you can't just absorb yourself in Krishna, then you're going to perform all your activities as an offering to Krishna without enjoying the fruit. So you're doing all your activities for Krishna's pleasure. That means you want to do it how Krishna would be pleased, not how you like. But it's just the field. You like prefer that field. And so then you're comfortable because the nature, the conditioning works in that field. But you're not doing it for you to get benefit. You're doing it just to please Krishna, right? Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chagavati Thakur. The antakarana becomes purified by nishkam karma offered to me. Then with a pure antakarana, one can practice jnana with a mixture of bhakti. One can, like, just like you did karma with a mixture of bhakti, now you'll do jnana with bhakti. One can concentrate the fixed mind on Brahman. With the destruction of vidya, one attains bhakti, which surpasses vidya. In other words, you're not doing it because of the knowledge that, okay, Krishna's God. It's that attachment to Krishna as God or as a person, right? By Kuntis, him as God. It's not because he is God. It's attachment to God. You know, the person. And then it's more about person. It's not about him being God at all. Then it goes beyond into that. That higher level of without sweetness, without majesty. Okay, is that okay? We're good.
Yes, Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.